Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 106th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Obine Nebandetse. She was born in Burundi, raised in Brussels, Belgium, and came directly to Portland, Maine with her stepmother and two younger brothers in the summer of 2011, at the age of 15. She is here today to tell us about her journey as a refugee and will also highlight World Refugee Day, which will be celebrated internationally tomorrow, June 20th. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Obine.
Hi.
So you are now a college student, but arrived in the United States as a 15-year-old. Can you tell us what it was like for you to experience entering this state as an immigrant?
Well, it was really hard at first because I wasn't speaking English at all. I had took some classes, but it didn't really help. And I remember even someone asking me my name, I couldn't even say what was my name. And that was really a struggle. I didn't really know anybody. And I was 15 at that time. So I left all my friends and came here. And that was really, really one of the hardest time, you know,
yes,
when you're a teenager.
Oh, I think of 15-year-old girls as being super connected to friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's just kind of like leaving your friends and going somewhere that you don't even know. So it was really a different experience. And it took me about 6 months before getting used to it and actually come out and start talking, because I wasn't really comfortable talking because I just didn't know. So I was scared. But French really helped me on that because it's really similar from English. And I guess that's why now I'm able to speak. And yes.
Yes. And you have many other languages to choose from.
Yes, exactly.
Were you speaking French in Brussels?
Yeah, I was speaking French and my mother language, so Kinyarwanda and Kirundi. And I was learning Dutch, but didn't really work well, so.
What was school taught in Brussels?
It was really hard, really competitive. You had at least 8 classes a week. And in one day, you had 4 classes, and you had to keep up the work. If you didn't pass your classes, at the end of the year, you would fail, and you would start over. They didn't care if you were 18 or 19. You would do it over and over and over again. And that's why a lot of teens just drop out of school and would just end up just trying to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What language was the instruction in Brussels?
It was French a lot. They didn't really allow any other languages, except, of course, they were teaching some English and Dutch. But really, you had to speak French the whole time. If you were to speak another language, it was a little bit misconceived, kind of see as something bad. So I guess you would have to speak your own language at home only, and then the rest of the time just speak French.
So you went to Deering High School.
Yes.
Right off the bat. What was that like? Were you able to make friends there?
Yes. I mean, at first, I didn't know anybody, like I said, so I couldn't make really any friends. There was a lot of people from my country, from Burundi and Rwanda, so I was trying to connect with them, but it wasn't really easy because, I mean, like, I'm from Belgium, and I didn't live a long time in Burundi. So it's just kind of like I'm in that middle where I know where I come from, but some people would not think that I'm from Burundi because I didn't live there for a long time. So I was just trying to be as positive as possible, talk to my people, and also meet new people. But it took me like a year or even a year and a half to actually have friends and feel good and, yes, feel like I was at the right place.
Yeah, I hear this sometimes from people who are of multiple races. You know, you're too Chinese to be American, or you're too American to be Chinese, kind of thing.
Exactly.
And so you were too Belgian to be Burundian and too Burundian to be American. You know?
Yes, exactly. It was really confusing because I was from Belgium, and I lived in Belgium for at least 12 years. So, and I lived in Burundi for 3 years. So it was kind of seen as, oh, you're not from Burundi, you're from Belgium.
Who is most likely to say that?
People from Burundi and maybe Rwanda, because I feel like I didn't connect to them. And a lot of people from Burundi know each other because they went to the same school, they had the same background. And for me, who really didn't have that, it's just kind of like I don't really connect. And I connect by the language, but even the language, I'm still learning. So it's just all those barriers.
Were there a lot of people from Burundi in Brussels?
There were. Brussels was a really multicultural place. So there were people from everywhere. I mean, when I say everywhere, it's literally everywhere. From Burundi, Rwanda, Congo, Somali, so south and north, Somali, Senegal, and Morocco. So it was really an international. And I was living in Brussels. So really, Brussels is the heart of Belgium, really. So there were like a lot of Burundian and Rwandans, but I would see them and I'll see other people. So it was just kind of like, it was normal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had friends across the groups.
Everywhere.
That's lovely. The Catholic Charities website says that current refugee populations that are coming to Maine are from Somalia, Sudan, Congo, Ethiopia, Burma, Iran, and Iraq. Trends in refugee resettlement mirror the conflicts and tragedies that are happening worldwide. And as such, Maine has most recently assisted in the resettlement of Eastern African and Middle Eastern refugees. In your experience, how do people from these different backgrounds work together with one another here?
I think they help one another because first, if a lot of people came here from the same reason to have a better life. So I think they help each other where when it comes to housing and helping find a house, or even like with the kids helping find a school. So there is like a lot of I think like when they gather into a community, and there is like a lot of community, like the Somalian community, sometimes they have how can I say that, groups, I would not say groups, or they, for example, they have celebration where they gather together and share something, so some people will not feel like they're left behind. And in those groups, those program, they help a lot of parents with their kids and finding school, finding housing. So it's a lot of like everybody helping each other and just not letting anybody just be left behind, kind of. Yeah,
so regardless of your background, you could get helped by any one of these groups.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. And more if you're, let's say, if you're Somalian, then you'd have more input, and a lot of people would come to help you if they're in the same, from the same country as you. Yeah,
it's like an extra asset.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, home team.
Yeah.
So refugees legally enter the United States in search of freedom, peace, and opportunity for themselves and their families. Was it hard for you to imagine that you would be able to find all those things here when you first started off in a family shelter?
On my side, I mean, I'm really someone who's really positive. So I really believed I would find that, really. You know what they say about America is you know, it's
the land of opportunity.
Exactly, the land of opportunity is like really the dream come true. So I was literally really excited, really. That was because, you know, I used to watch those movies on TV and everything. So I was like, yeah.
You knew what America was. You saw the movies.
Yes, exactly. I was like, I'm ready for this. I think I'm ready.
That's great. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your first 6 months in the shelter and what that was like for your family, because I don't think most people know those stories.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. I was okay, you know, and I'm really mature. Like, I grew up being really mature, so it was okay. But I know for my little brother, it was really hard. They didn't know where they were. And also, we were kind of like, it was a little bit, I'm not going to say it was a prison because they're really helping you. But it's just kind of like when you have to come at a certain time, if you go over 9 o'clock p.m., it's just you're late.
You can't get back
in the
shelter.
And you cannot get back, and you have to find a way in or somewhere to sleep. And it's just kind of like all those strict rules. They come to check on you if you're there.
To make sure you're in your room.
Yes, exactly. So it was really monitored a lot. You were living with other families, but sometimes you couldn't really use things to cook with them because you didn't know where they were. And I recall this family that the little baby would like take the spoon that you used for to cook and just go in the bathroom and just shovel in it. And it was kind of like, it was sad. But I mean, you know, when you're living with people, you have to understand that, you know, some families just live the way they want to live. So right. It was a little hard.
But you don't
hard.
Necessarily want to share the
exactly,
spoon that's
no.
been in the toilet.
No, you don't want to share the spoon.
I can understand that.
Yes.
So luckily you came in the summer, so it wasn't too much culture shock with the with the weather. Were there other culture shocks that you found in America that ways it wasn't quite like the movies?
Yeah. I came here in Maine. Way different from Hollywood and New York and all those big cities, because the way I really saw was, in my head, it was like really big cities, you know? And just coming here, at some point I really thought that we were lost. And I literally turned to my mom, like, Mom, are you sure we're not lost? Are you sure we're in America? And she was like, yes, we are. We're in a place called Maine. I'm like, I never heard that. So it was a little shocking. Just not knowing where I was, never heard about that. But I feel like as time was going by, I really see a big potential in living in Maine. And I clearly actually do like it. I feel like it's really nice. There's not a lot of things happening that you say, oh, and you're in danger or anything.
And less explosions than in the movies.
Yes, exactly.
There's so many explosions in any given movie.
Yeah, and people are really nice. In Belgium, a lot of people are cold. Here, you know, people say hi and they ask you how you doing. So I was like, oh, that's actually pretty good.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
So your family got split up by this move to the United States,
yeah.
And your father only recently was able to join you,
yes,
your
really
stepmother,
happy.
And your two younger brothers. Yes, I'm very happy too. I wondered if you could tell us about that reunion and what it was like.
It was the best reunion, I think. I never really been separated from my dad at any point, so it was just kind of like really warming to have him with us. And after 4 years, I mean, it's really a long time not seeing your dad. Not that I would do whatever I wanted, but I mean, it just kind of felt like really him not being there. We were really missing something. Mm-hmm. And I know it was the same thing for him, kind of like not seeing his kids and being at home in an empty house and be like, where is my kid? But, you know, he would call often and check on us, but it wasn't really the same. So him being here, it just helped me a lot. He's really nice.
Was he shocked to find out that you're a young woman now?
Yes, he was like, you guys all grew up. I think it was more for my little brother because when we left, they were really young. So it was just kind of like now, like my brother just graduated last week from Deering.
Nice.
And he was like, wow, when did that happen? Like, what? So yes, he was just really shocked to see like all his kids like growing up, me being in college, you know?
Did you all go to the airport to meet him, or how was that initial reunion?
My mom went just because, you know, it was easier. And she was like, just wait here, because sometimes airplanes are really late. And with my little brother, she didn't want to cause trouble because he's really bad at waiting. So, yeah. So he was like, just stay here. I'll take care of it. I'll bring him back. Don't worry.
I love it. So they had their own reunion and then.
Yes.
Finally.
And, I mean, they took pictures. So I was like, huh. I missed that.
Yeah.
But that was great, yes.
That's exciting. So I'm aware that today is Father's Day.
It is.
And I wondered if you might like to share something special with your father on the air at this point.
Yes, I would like to sing a song for him. I know that I haven't been singing for him a long time. I mean, I haven't seen him for 4 years. And I know that the last time I sang for him was, I think, when I was, 9 years old? 9, 8?
Yeah.
So it's like 10 years from now. So I think that would be great to sing something for him.
Great.
Yeah.
And when you're singing this, I'm going to also be thinking of all the refugee families who are separated from their loved ones mm-hmm. on this Father's Day, and that our hearts stay connected across all those miles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
Mic is yours.
All right. I'm going to sing Céline Dion, S'il suffit d'aimer. It's in French. For everybody hearing me, like, what is she saying? Well, yeah, it's in French. And she's Céline Dion from Canada. All right, go. Je rêve son visage, je décline de son corps. Et puis je l'imagine habitant mon décor. J'aurais tant à lui dire, si j'avais su parler. Comment lui faire relire le fond de mes pensées? Mais comment font ces autres à qui tout réussit? Comme me disaient mes fautes, mes chimères aussi. Moi j'offrirai mon âme, mon cœur et tout mon temps. Mais j'ai beau tout donner, tout n'est pas suffisant. Si suffisait qu'on s'aime, si suffisait d'aimer, je ferais de ce monde un rêve. Pour l'éternité.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow, you just have that little voice tucked in.
Thanks.
You know, you never know what someone's voice is like. That's so beautiful.
Thank you
for sharing that with your father and with all of us.
You're welcome.
You are listening to WMPG, and if you are just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I am Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Obin Nibandetse. She is a college student who served on the World Refugee Day Committee for Portland, helping to organize the entertainment for that June 4th event held at King Middle School. While tomorrow is the official International Day, Portland celebrated on June 4th. And I wonder what World Refugee Day event was like this year. Can you give us a quick synopsis of how it went?
It was great. There were a lot of people. A lot of people enjoyed it. And I feel like all communities were well represented. There were a lot of people performing. And I know that at some point also we had some people performing, but there was also some community who really wanted to put the input into it. And we had like people just coming and stepping up and be like, you know what? I want to sing a song in my language. I want to dance, you know? And it was just so warming to see everybody just gather and just put all their input into that action. Because it was really about just showing that no matter where you come from, you can share a meal with somebody from another country and just celebrate, enjoy where you come from. And a lot of people were there. There was, like, at some point, like, a circle where everybody was dancing, just having fun. Kids were running everywhere. The food was great, really. I think that it was one of the most beautiful events that happened in Portland. Yeah.
And it was a beautiful evening.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Some people were like, all right, what is happening next? Because it just went so fast. People were having fun. They were dancing. And then it was time to go home, and people were like, no, I don't want to go home. I want to get my henna done.
Yes, there were henna decorations on
yes.
the girls' hands.
Yeah, and there were henna. There were, like, some entertainment. A lot of people were dancing, singing. There were also different booths where you could do a different activity. I know there was one where you could get your hand painted and just put it into a big board and... It's just kind of something that what this event represents to you.
Yes, we're all creating this community
exactly.
together with our own
yes,
handprints.
Yes, exactly. And I know that kids loved it. There were like some popcorn and what is the other thing? Cotton candy.
Uh-huh.
That was one of my favorite. But yes, kids loved it. It was more, I think like it was really different from like a simple festival. It wasn't just not a festival. It was really... an event that brings everybody together and just enjoy the time. Because, you know, now with everything that's happening all around the world, family getting separated and all you hear about terrorism, you know, the only thing you really want, I feel like people really want to laugh and have fun and smile and be alive. And just having those events really bring this.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to quantify how much difficulty people have been through, and to have a day to recognize the difficulty mm-hmm. people are going through, as well as to celebrate, like, woohoo, we're here.
Yeah.
We're making
exactly.
it happen.
Yeah.
The dream's alive.
True.
Right? I love that. Each year, Maine welcomes refugees from war-torn countries and helps them rebuild their lives in safety. In the past 40 years, Maine has resettled over 9,000 primary refugees from 24 countries. How does an event like World Refugee Day help to build empathy in the community, do you think?
I think it helped to build empathy when it comes to just, for example, I see a lot of people from my country because I'm from Burundi and Rwanda, and I see a lot of people from Burundi and Rwanda fighting each other. I mean, that's two countries who are really close together. The border is like really close, so it's right there. But I see a lot of like kind of like, I would not say discrimination, but kind of like being separated and be like, oh yeah, you from this country. No, you from this country. If I'm from Burundi, I don't know why I would speak to someone from Somalian. And just I feel like having an event where everybody from different country is there to share something, just bring empathy. Because I feel like a lot of people are just afraid. They don't know about someone else's culture, someone else's country. And they're like, oh, I don't know this person. I don't know your culture, but I don't feel you. I don't want to have anything to do with you, because they're scared. They don't know what they're looking for. But when you get to sit down, share a meal with somebody, talk to the person, and you might end up also finding yourself that you guys are sharing something, you know?
Yes, maybe you really love their bread, or
exactly.
Find the oud very
something
beautiful.
Something really small, you know? And just having this just breaks those boundaries of being scared, and that brings empathy. And you might be like, okay, actually what I thought about you, it wasn't right. That's not, no, you guys are actually really nice, you know? And just having everybody just dancing together, sharing, talking, like sharing a bread, like you just said, it's just beautiful, and it brings a lot of empathy. And that those moments, it's really rare to have someone really coming and be like, I don't like this. Everybody's enjoying. You're not going to see anybody complain.
Changes
so,
hearts.
Yes, it really changes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's nice. So you arrived in Portland as a teenager, quickly picked up English, and as a have a high school diploma, and then you've headed off to college. I wonder what your dreams are like for your life over the next 5 or 10 years. What do you want to see happen?
I guess just being successful, and I think that's what also my parents want me to, just be successful in life and just follow my dream. I'm in the nursing program, and I'm hoping to be a nurse, but also I love to dance. I love to sing. I'm someone who's really artistic, so I feel like I would also like to have an kind of like an outcome and something happening to that. And maybe, I don't know, I might be the next Beyonce.
You very well might be, as it turns
maybe,
out.
Maybe, I don't know. So not that much, but something maybe throw it at where I could use my talent. And even if it's something small to help people, or to just kind of like, you know, be myself and just do something that I like, then that's all I'm looking for. No, nothing really big, but just being happy with what I'm doing. That's all I'm looking forward to do.
Just to contribute with
the
gifts you've brought to share.
Yes, exactly.
Obin, you are a person who is adding value to the community as a hip-hop dance instructor, an after-school support for elementary school children, a volunteer, and a key member of your newly reunited family. I am sure you will contribute to this community in so many ways over the coming years. And thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you to you. Thank you so much.
I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Obin Nibandetse. Tell us the song you have chosen for today's program for closing it.
I choose a song called Sitialos. I'm not sure of where it is, but somewhere in Africa. I think it's Luganda or Ghana somewhere. And I know a lot of people know this song. It's really joyful. There is kids dancing in the videos. And it's just nice. I think it brings another image from Africa. Because a lot of people, some people, I'm not going to say a lot, but some people think that Africa is poverty, sadness. But when I look at this video, I'm like, no, there is actually something different. You see those kids dancing, having fun. It's not only that. So, yeah, that's the song.
It's joyful. Thank you very much, Obin.
chisera domziki tamusana nze sichalosi sichalosi nze sichalosi ndi boss sichalosi dance dance ye baba bubu kembumulo ye baba bubu kembumulo akalero kansonga kakubye ndi mumudu ya chigoma Sagala nyombo, kubange no sawa ya nungo Bagambye sagala nyombo, eno sawa ya chikiri Mwama sembera, mulamu basova Jangu chetale, ya sibi akulika Mekanzine, nenzina mumama Mulamu wajisera, ato muziki zuri sana Mekanzine, nenzina mulamu wajisera Sana, nze sichalosi, sichalosi, nze sichalosi ndi boss, sichalosi. Dance, dance, abange, unobulamu bumbi, zingubami, kalimunde kenange. Kwenzi jukira muche mfuti, endo osa tukubana, acholeka otada, nebakendi kakanga. Itali musana, oh mama, oh la la, yeah. Oh agariba,
enjole,
oh agariba,
enjole.
Kati toba kona chungamba, jango mziki tugusambe. Kambe toba kona chungamba, jangwe nutuichangi.
Aye le 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 le, enjole, le 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 le.
Lekanzine,
nenzina mumama, unamu wajisera, ato mziki zuri sana.
Lekanzine.
Zinamu, zina, zinamu awo, zina, zinamu, zina, zinamu awo, zina. Yelelele, yelelele.
Bawa.